Good morning. What a beautiful day that the Lord has made, and I am so glad to be part of it. Yes. And if any of you guys are glad to be part of it, why don't you guys go ahead and stand with me if you can stand. And I just want you to begin to lift up your voice in thankfulness. Yes. And if you have a prayer tongue, just begin to just speak out in it right now in agreeance with today. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for today. God, I'm so thankful that you chose for us to be here in such a time as this, God. We give this service to you, Lord. We just praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, I just want you guys to begin to speak out. I want to begin to hear the voices. Just lift up your thankfulness to the Lord and just begin to prepare a place for him to be today. Because if we want to see him move, we've got to allow him to move. So let's just begin. Just lift up your voices. Don't worry about who's next to you. Just be loud. God, we thank you. We thank you. We just welcome you here today. Father, we just host your presence, Lord. And we say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to your agenda today, God. Lord, we ask that you would come and move in a different and a mighty way today, Lord. God, that not one person would leave here unchanged, Father. That not one person would leave here unshifted in some way, Father. I just pray that any distractions would go right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, you are not welcome here. And we just say yes to your peace. We say yes to your joy. We say yes to who you are and all of who you are, God. Yes, if you have a prayer tongue, if you don't, just begin to just lift up his name. Lift up his name. Lift up his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. God, I want you to move. God, we are asking that you move in such a deep way today. Even in the children, God, that they would feel your presence, Lord, and that their spirits would respond to you. Yes, God. Yes, God. And if there's any healings that are needed today, Father, that you would meet those healings. If there's any needs, God, monetarily, Father, that you would meet that in abundance in Jesus' name. Yes, God, we just speak your name over every situation today, Lord. And we welcome you. We invite you, Father, to be here right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, majesty. You are matchless, matchless in every way. And we say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we set this place for you, God. You would enjoy this incense of praise, God. Just begin to lift a song from your heart. A song from your heart. You don't need the words up there to be singing along with. Just begin to sing your own song. Oh, yeah, just telling him, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for the rain. God, thank you for the rain that is feeding the grass and the trees, Lord. Thank you for coming and meeting with us today, God. Thank you for the sun, Lord, that brings its energy. Thank you for our worship team, God, that's up here leading us and opening your heavens. Yes, Lord, we just invite you into today. We give this day to you, Father, and we say, have it your way, have it your way. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Your name.
God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always takes away. 'Cause he hung upon that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place.
this next song, I want us all to just think about the fact that every lyric we've been singing has talked about how much we need to depend on God, that our life wouldn't be complete without Him, without Him sacrificing Himself on the cross, without His breath in our lungs, that we need God. So I want us to sing these lyrics as if it's a cry out to Him, out of thankfulness that He is so willing to do these things for us, to keep us on our feet, and to keep us steadfast, going towards the ultimate glory, which is to be with Him.
Life, you are love, you
church, poured out from the depths of you. God isn't only desiring the clean parts. He's not only desiring the holy parts. He's desiring all of his children. And today we have an opportunity to pour out everything to him. It's not about a feeling. It's not about, do I feel like pouring out? Do I feel like worshiping? Do I feel like giving him my all? It's about his worthiness and the fact that we get to come to a loving Father and bring him every single bit of us, the every ounce of us, the good, the bad, the ugly, that he is a Father that looks at us with love in his eyes. And so this morning, church, I just ask that we would continue to pour in just a little bit more. Push in a little bit more. Pour out a little bit more. Jesus. I want to read this verse. We're going to keep worshiping. I want to read this verse. Psalm 62, verse 7 and 8. This came to me this morning. And in the Passion Translation, it says this: God's glory is all around me. His wraparound presence is all I need, for the Lord is my Savior, my hero, and my life-giving strength. Verse 8 says, trust only in God every moment. Tell him all your troubles and pour out your heart belongings to him. Believe me when I tell you, he will help you. Pause in his presence. Trust only in God. Trust only in God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that we get to come and trust in you and pour out everything. And we could pour out everything because we could trust you with our everything. We don't have to hide who we really are. We don't have to hide who we are when we go home. We don't have to hide who we are when no one's looking, God. We bring it to you today, God. And anything that is not of you, God, we ask that you would begin to redeem those areas of our lives, God. Anything, God, that is sinful, you begin to redeem those areas. Anything, God, that we have been holding on to, Lord, that we know should not be in us, God, because we are a righteous being, made righteous in your eyes, God, through you, Lord. God, that you would begin to redeem your children today, Lord. So we pour it out today, God. We pour it out this morning, God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yeah, let's keep worshiping, church. Let's worship just a little bit longer. less like myself and made me something new. I thank you, God, that you always get the last word. Lord, that nothing else can define me, God, not my past, Lord, not any statistics, God, not what the world says I should be, God, Lord, but that I could find my identity in you, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that I'm a new creation, Lord, a new creation, God. And I don't have to fall to the temptations of the world. I don't have to fall to the desires, God, that the world is telling me to have, God, because I'm made new in you, God. How many of you guys are excited that we're just a new creation today? Yeah, yeah. How many of you guys are excited that we don't have to go back to the old man or the old woman, but that we are new creations today and that we have a new destiny in Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. He is not done with us. He is just getting started with us from young to old, that he has done, he's doing new stuff in our lives every single day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Man, we could stay here all day. But you have some beautiful people around you. Let's say hi, hug some necks, get some coffee, and we're going to transition right now. Love you guys. Thank you, worship team. You guys are amazing. And yes, we're going to do that. Good morning, good morning. All right, church, we are going to do our declarations. We're going to do the declaration of the house. This is something that we do weekly to just, it's good to declare some things, amen? It's good to get those things at the forefront of our minds. And here's the secret to this is that, and this is just honesty really, is that you don't, even, you say it even if you don't fully believe it, because there's something that happens in your spirit, because your spirit believes it, your spirit knows that these things are true, but especially the city one, it's really, how many of you guys know it's really hard to declare things over our city when we're seeing what we're seeing on the news, when we're seeing, you know, it's really hard. But when we speak things out, we come in alignment with our spirit, right? And so this is what we're going to do today. We're going to do the declaration for the heart of the house. Okay, and you can go to that first slide. And as we say this, again, it's not about a feeling. It's not about any of that. It's more or less us putting our faith to this. We are putting our faith to these things, even if we maybe not fully be seeing these things. And we're just going to make some declarations over our house. If you guys would stand with me, and we're going to go after this in unison as a church. On the count of three, one, two, three, I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. God, I thank you for this house. I thank you for what you're doing in this place, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you only need one or two faithful servants to see a move from you. And I thank you, Jesus, that there's more than one or two in this room. And so we'll see a mighty move of God in this place, God. And as people enter this place, that they will get a fresh touch from your spirit. I thank you so much, Jesus, for our pastors. God, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, God, on their trip these next 2 weeks. And I just thank you, Father, for the glory that you pour out every single day. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.
Right.
Amen, amen. Speaking of amens, you guys, I have to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who either gave your time yesterday or gave your things so that we could sell at the yard sale. Our grand total that we made was $1,052.04. That is amazing. You guys, thank you, Lord, right? $1,052.04 in Jesus' name. Wow. Like, we were counting and we thought, okay, yeah, well, you know, maybe $600. Da, da, da. God just kept multiplying and multiplying. And I was like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And I have to let you guys know what a blessing that is. We have 4 kids that need to be sponsored, and that's going to cover them. So praise the Lord. Every kid that wants to go to camp with us gets to go to summer camp with us. And I am just so grateful. If you guys still feel led to give, please do. We have gas and food and things like that that we want to cover as well. But praise the Lord. He is working in and through us. And I'm just so grateful for you guys. Thank you for everything that you guys gave. I really appreciate that. Amen, right? Okay, so the only announcements we have today is pre-service prayer. We went down there today and it was a magical time. Like I said, it's from 9:45 to 10:15 or 10. Yeah, and you know, just depends on how the Spirit moves. But I just really encourage you guys to continue to come to those as you feel led. God, like, there's nothing like preparing your hearts for what it is that God has and is going to do for that day. So if you have the ability, please come. It's downstairs, down the left stairs, in our prayer room. And then also tithing. So if you guys feel led to give to this house, to be able to bless the things that we're doing, like getting kids to church or to youth camp and allowing us to put on the events that we do to reach our city, you can text onelifefamilyworship.com, click give, it'll walk you through. Or if you're old-fashioned like myself, we have a giving box there, and in the back, feel free to do so. In Jesus' name.
Praise him. I'll just reiterate, the yard sales are a lot of work, especially one at this magnitude. We had this whole parking lot, not the whole parking lot, but this whole like left side of the parking lot with, what was there, 8 tables out there, something like that, just with a lot of stuff. And it got very hot. And by the end of it, I was at the end of it, we were done. So we just were literally giving stuff away. And at the very end of it, I was like, I don't care what we do with this stuff. Let's put it in the middle of the parking lot and burn it because I'm so ready to go home. Just full transparency. But nonetheless, it really is such a blessing. Thank you guys again just for who gave and who those who came in to help. And, you know, we had a lot of our students there to help. They were really the real heroes because they were standing on the side of the roads with signs and bringing people in. We had one young man who his skin is very fair, if I can say that, and he was very red by the end of the day. He did not want to come in. He was dedicated to this cause. And, you know, we just really, really believe in youth camp. This isn't anything about my message, but I just want you guys to know we go to camp in like 10 days, I think it is, 9 days. And camp is one of those events that I will die on that mountain, that kids that are in youth need to be at camp. There's something amazing that happens when you get away from your normal routine and your parents, your friends, even though you might have friends that are there, and you just pour into it. And I tell kids, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, I say, if you want to go to camp but you don't have the finances, like, that's never going to be a reason why. I will find the money. I will take out a loan. I don't care. We're going to get you to camp. And so this is why we work so hard to make sure we have the funds. And even if the church doesn't, we're going to find a way to get kids to camp. And so be praying for us. We're also on a fast right now as a church, or as a youth group. I challenged our students last Sunday to give something up, to lay something down for 16 days from last Monday until next Tuesday. Texting the students, just trying to keep them accountable and say, hey, how are these fasts going? Some of them are giving up video games. I had a young man text me 3 days in saying, I don't think I could do this. I'm so bored. It's summer. He's like, I want to play video games, and just trying to encourage him. We can do this, right? And so it's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. Are you guys excited to be here today? You guys excited to see Jesus move? I have a message that I want to share. This is actually a word that God gave me last month, and I didn't get an opportunity to preach it because Holy Spirit moved and I preached something else. And so I've just been kind of sitting on this message. And Pastor Mike and Gaylene are on a kind of two-week vacation trip. They're actually... they were going to fly down. They're seeing some friends in, where do they live? Utah? In Utah. But they decided to drive down instead because there's another, so our affiliation is Grace International. And there's another small church plant. When I say small, it's two people. And so it's a husband and wife. And they planted a church in is it Klamath? Yeah, it is. Okay. So Southern Oregon. And they planted it. They felt God call them to do it, and they have had zero traction with it. And it's an older couple. And so Mike and Gay, this is your pastors. This is their heart. They got to talking to them this last March when we were at our retreat. And they said, you know what? Instead of flying to Utah, we're going to drive. We're going to stop where you guys are, and we're going to help you minister for a couple of days. We're going to go into the coffee shops, and we're going to start telling people about your church. We're going to go canvas and start telling people about your church. And I just love that so much because flying's a lot faster than driving, and it's a lot more fun than driving, to be honest. We're about to take a 7-hour trip down to camp, and I'm like, Lord. But I just love that so much. And so be praying for our pastors while they're on their trip. A lot of it is leisure, but some of it is actually, you know, not some of it. A lot of it is as well ministry. They're the type of people where no matter where they go, they do ministry. It's just who they are. And so they'll be gone the next two Sundays. And so I want to speak a message. I titled this message "Beautiful Weeds." For those of you who maybe have a garden or at least have a lawn, you notice that even in the greenery, there could be weeds. And there are the weeds that are like hideous and ugly, and you're like, man, get these out of my house so I'm not the ghetto house on the block, right? But then there's also weeds that you're just like, oh, I don't even notice them because they're just green, right? They're just there, and they might even look nice, right? But ultimately, it's still a weed. We have in our backyard, we have this flower bed. Is that right? Yeah, like a raised flower bed, and it's right next to our fence line. And let me preface this before I say this, is that Nancy and I, you know, me less than Nancy, aren't necessarily like the green people. You know, like we have plants in our house, and we love them, and Nancy loves them especially. She names all of them, and pray for her, and you know, and I like it too, but we don't like, you know, plant flowers and do all that stuff, and like, you know, we would like to, in our minds we like the idea, but we just don't do it. So we have this raised flower bed for the last, we've been there like 3 years, and just full of weeds. It's just weeds, and I mean, it's in our backyard, so it's kind of like, okay, that can live there for a while. And so last year Nancy pulled a bunch, and then this year I started pulling it, and then Nancy came out, and I say we pulled weeds, but it really turned into we started pulling weeds, and then Nancy pulled weeds, and then I was just there for support because I hate yard work. I believe I'm supposed to be wealthy enough to have somebody do it for me, but my bank account doesn't think that, so it just doesn't work, okay? So I just live with the weeds. And so nonetheless, we were pulling weeds, and Nancy said, oh, don't pull those ones though, because those are like that might be something, that might be a flower. And I'm like, okay, so I'd already pulled a bunch, but I was like, I won't pull anymore. What was cool, and for me it's cool because, again, I don't know these things, is we pull all these weeds and we get it all cleared out. And like the next week, maybe the next few days, those things that she told me not to pull ended up being these beautiful, like orange, like lily, like flowers. And I started to think about, like, wow, how much sooner would those things have bloomed if they didn't have the weeds around them sucking all the nutrients, right? And I'm talking about this because I believe that as Christians, if we're not aware of the weeds in our lives, okay, there's plenty of well-meaning Christians that have, you know, read their Bible and they go to church and they go to Bible study and they do all the stuff that we're supposed to do, but don't actually address the weeds. And yeah, they're this, you know, beautiful, vibracious flower. But they have all these weeds that consequently are sucking all the nutrients out of them and will inevitably take us out. And so let me read this verse real quick. Colossians 2, and this is in the ESV. It says this: therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let me pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. And God, I thank you for this word. And I just pray that you would bless us, God. You would posture our hearts towards you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to be rooted in you, Jesus. We get to be, that is the safest place that we can be, is when we're rooted in you. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Being rooted means that weeds will grow too. And sometimes they look beautiful. And what can weeds mean? Now, weeds, the obvious answer, weeds could be sin, okay? So those could be sin. But weeds could be bad habits. Weeds could be self-hatred, the way you talk about yourself, the way you think about yourself. Weeds can be false beliefs about God. This is, again, and I feel like I'm just a broken record, but I will continue to beat this dead horse because I believe fully in this Bible. If we stay in this Bible, then we will know if what we believe is true or not. People that don't read their Bible can make up whatever they want about God. Oh, I believe God is this. I believe God does this. I believe God speaks this way. I could care less about what you believe. Does it align with this? Because if you can't tell me where it is in here, then I'm not sure if that's from God. I'm willing to be wrong. I can get to heaven and all the things that you believe could be right. I don't know. But for now, this is my reference. Okay? And so false beliefs about God, these can be weeds in our lives that we need to make sure that we're paying attention to. Bad theology and pride. These are just examples. They're not limited to these things, okay? But these are all things that could be weeds in our lives that we need to make sure, like, oh, that thing's popping up. And here's the other thing about a weed is that sometimes it starts small and you're like, oh, that's okay. We'll deal with that later, right? Just this morning, actually, I didn't even think about it. Just this morning, in my car, and I'm getting ready to pull out, and then I see what wasn't there that long ago or was little is these weeds that were growing in our cement, like where the side of the cement wall comes against our driveway. And I was like, just a few days ago or maybe a week ago, that wasn't there, or it was very small. If we allow weeds in our lives to go unattended, it has the potential to grow. Whatever we allow, right? Whatever we allow in our lives has the opportunity to get bigger. That's the same with God, and it's the same with things that aren't of God. All right? Allowing your roots to go deep in the Lord keeps you standing. It keeps you large. In California, there's the redwoods, and I believe it's these trees that I forget what they're called. Sequoias, yes. And not only I've never been. I've just seen photos. But not only are these trees extra large. Their roots are extra long. But these trees, what's unique about the redwoods is that the trees, the roots don't just go down deep. They actually go down far. Why? Because they're so large, they're so big, that if a wind comes, if whatever comes, it actually is able to withstand that. And what's crazy about that is the trees are so close together they actually are able to use the other roots, the other trees, to withstand. That's us. That's what we get to do. So our rooting ourselves in Jesus, but not just deep, but wide, is what keeps us from getting taken out when the enemy throws whatever he's going to throw at us. It's going to keep us from doing something silly when we're rooted in Jesus. I forget now, but I mentioned it. I got an opportunity to speak at a Spanish church, which is funny because I don't speak Spanish, but God is faithful. I prayed a few months ago, God, give me more opportunity to share your word at different places. Right? I love preaching here. Also, God, I have a passion to minister in other places. And God was like, okay, here's an opportunity, here's this. And I'm like, cool, these are awesome, right? Got to preach at a friend's youth group and an opportunity to preach somewhere else. And then all of a sudden I get this phone call from a gal that we know. Her son is a part of our youth group, and she's a pastor at a church in town, a Spanish church. She texts me, actually, and she says, hey, would you like to come minister at our church and bring the youth students and prophesy and stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I don't speak Spanish. And she knows that. And she says, yeah, we'll use a translator. And I'm like, okay, that's embarrassing, but yes. Right. And so it was a great opportunity. Right. And I'm not really embarrassed. It is what it is. I'm 37. I've lived with this my whole life. I've been to Mexico and the Mexicans love me. So I'm confident I'm secure in who I am. Okay. I'm proud to be an American. Getting ready for this day, and I think it was a Wednesday that we were going, and I worked that day, and I get home, and I'm trying to get my mind in this space to like prepare to minister, and trying to prepare my students, and hey guys, those of you who are coming, like get ready because we're gonna prophesy and we're gonna do all this stuff, right? And then I got a text message from one of the students, not about the event, but about camp, and if you've never planned like an event with multiple people, moving pieces, money, transportation, all this stuff, it's pretty stressful. And so I get this message about camp, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's so annoying. I'm so frustrated. Like I legitimately was at the point, because then there was something else that happened as well, where I was like, I am not in the headspace to go minister tonight. I should probably just call her and say, I'm out. I can't do this tonight. And you know, my wife, who's just so gracious and is able to call me out. This is why I always tell young people, like, don't just pray for a spouse. Pray for a spouse who's going to call you out on your stuff. And she calls me out and basically says, hey, like, do you not see what's happening here? Like, of course this would happen. You're 2 hours away from going and ministering. Like, if the enemy can get me to stop... The enemy is a concern. The enemy isn't concerned so much about me being a Christian. Because if I can stay a complacent, content, safe Christian, he's not worried about me. If I can just stay home in my safe little Christian bubble and just worry about, okay, well, at least I'm going to heaven. Okay, one less I have to worry about. Hell gets shaken when I step out in faith and I begin to spread God's word. When I begin to lead a generation and say, hey, we're going to go and I'm going to take you teenagers and we're going to prophesy into adults' lives. That's when the enemy's like, I need to stop this right now. But the only way I get that is me staying rooted and having a wife that's rooted and having and staying rooted to the point where I'm like, oh yeah, I recognize the schemes of the enemy. Because the enemy isn't creative. The enemy can't create. He can only imitate a poor example of what Jesus has created, right? And so, of course, he's going to use old strategies to try to take me out. But when you're rooted, you don't get blown over as easy. It doesn't take much. Here's the thing about weeds, though. It doesn't take much to water or sunlight to grow weeds. Here's why. Because weeds still what they need from what's beautiful around them and leave them to starve. So your grass, flowers, fruits, vegetables. Weeds leave other seeds, and here's the crazy thing about weeds, they leave other seeds to grow when they die. And so this is why we have to stay diligent in our faith. Because you'll pull one weed and say, okay, I got that bad habit, I got that sin, I got that thought life out, and think, I'm good. Sure, you may be good, but we have to stay diligent about our faith. There's no days off in our faith. Amen? Weeds try to blend in, but when they're found, are uglier than everything around them. I want to read this verse in Matthew 13. This is Jesus talking. He says, Jesus told them another parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, sir, don't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. So, church, I ask you this question as you begin pondering this thought. What are the weeds in your life? Because weeds will grow if you let them. Weeds have to be pulled. Continuing on in that scripture in Matthew 13, this is Jesus breaking down that parable. He says in 37, he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Some of you may ask, well, where's the fruit in my life? And if you're not seeing fruit in your life, maybe there's too many weeds in the way. And just like Jesus was, what Jesus is alluding to, or not alluding, he said it, is that just as many good seeds could be planted in your life, there's a real enemy who hates you, wants to see you fail, and also sow seeds. We have to stay diligent. I have to stay diligent about what am I allowing to grow in my garden. At the end of the day, this flower bed in my backyard, it's nobody else's fault that has weeds in it but me. I can't blame my neighbor. I can't blame my landlord. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame my kids. You guys should be pulling weeds, by the way. I can't blame anybody. I only have me to blame. Because I have to be the one to glove up, get on my garden clothes, get out there in the hot sun, take the hour, whatever it takes, and put my hand in the dirt. And not just take out the weeds, but see, oh, this isn't a weed. And let me make sure I pull around that. Let me make sure that I protect this thing. And if we want to see fruit in our life, if we want to see that beautiful flower bloom in our life, we have to start taking an assessment of our garden, of our lives, and see what is God planted in my life that I need to water, that I need to tend to, that I need to minister to, And what has the enemy put in my life? What has the enemy sowed in? What are these thoughts that I'm thinking? Oh, that thought wasn't there before. I used to not think this way. When did this start changing? Oh, I started listening to that one negative person that I work with. And that's that they planted a seed. And now I think that way. Oh, I used to not talk bad about my boss, but since that person does, now I start thinking that way too, because that seed has been watered. I used to not think that way about my spouse or think that way about my children or my family, but that seed was planted and now it's watered. So I have a second part to this, and I'm gonna stop there, and I want to share that for next week. But I want to just take an opportunity, and I want us just to pray together. And this morning, if you will, I just want us to take an assessment between yourself and the Lord. What are weeds in my life? What are things planted in my life that don't need to be there? So I'm gonna pray. And I want you just to come into agreement where you feel are areas of your life that need to be addressed. And we're just going to allow God to minister to our hearts this morning. And here's the thing too, is that the work isn't done when we say amen. It's just getting started. God gets the last word, and it's always love. And when we leave this place, we have an opportunity to put on the gloves. And to get ready to continue to be diligent about this. And so, God, I thank you for your children this morning, and I thank you for where you're highlighting in our lives, God, the areas that we need to address. I just ask, God, this morning that you would begin to speak to your sons and speak to your daughters about their lives, God. Speak to them about the areas that you need them to address, God, that you've been prodding at them, God, this, saying this right here, that area, that anger, that frustration, that thing right there. God, I pray right now that you'd begin speaking to the hearts, Lord, of your people, and even in my own life, God. In areas that I've been too stubborn to lay down, in areas that I've been too stubborn to submit before you, God, that you would begin doing a work in my heart, God. And I ask right now, Lord, that supernaturally, Lord, you would begin giving your children the strategies, Lord, of how to go after these things. Because I know sometimes it's not just as easy as pulling out the weed, because the root of that weed is so, so, so deep. And I just ask, God, that you would begin to do a work, God. And I thank you that we don't have to do it alone, God. I thank you that when we partner with you, Lord, and we do the work and we put in the work and we say yes to you, God, Lord, that you come alongside us and you grab that weed and you make us free. You make us new, God. And I just pray, God, for everyone's spiritual garden in this place. That our gardens, Lord, would be made beautiful. Our lives would be made beautiful. And I thank you that you're willing to do the work with us, God. You're such a good father. You're willing to do the work with us. And so this week, God, I just pray that you would continue bringing to mind what are the things in our lives that we need to address. What are the things that we need to water more? What are the things that we need to pull? What are the things that we need to work on with you, Jesus? We praise your name, God, and we thank you that you're good, that you're always good. Yeah, we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. I love you guys. And again, I just believe so, so, so deeply that God's going to begin to reveal to you so many things. And that I promise you that if we're willing to do the work, we can be made whole. Things that you've been holding on to for decades, things that you've been holding on to that have just been this ugly thing that's growing over there in the corner. And God wants to see you free. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you guys next week.